So this week, we come to the end of the season of Lent. So, wow, that's loud. We come to the end of the season of Lent. So if you've been here, we've been in this season, and we've been going through the series called Giving Up, Taking Up. And we've talked about things in our lives over the last 40 days that we need to consider giving up or taking up. We started by giving some real practical suggestions, and we tried to take this thing called Lent that seems strange to some of us, or maybe we have bad memories associated with it, and say, maybe there's something every day, that you, just something really simple, something really tangible, something really practical in your life that you can give up or that you can take up. And I know a bunch of you followed those suggestions. But we also said that there's something deeper and more significant, that maybe there's some things in our lives like anger, like holding on to a grudge, like busyness that we need to give up. And maybe there's some other things, some practices or some disciplines or some attitudes that we need to consider taking up as well. And we've talked about those for the last several weeks. And then if you remember, if you were here the first Sunday where we talked about this, we said ultimately where God is taking all of us is to follow Jesus. And that means giving up our lives and taking up the cross. Because that's what this journey is all about, and that's where we come into this week. We celebrate what's been called Holy Week, where we remember Jesus going to the cross and taking it up and giving up his life for each one of us. But the question that I want to talk about today is, where do we go after that? Because this coming Sunday, we'll come and we'll celebrate Easter, and that'll be a joyous celebration. That's what next Sunday is all about. And then as a church, we'll start a new sermon series after that, and we'll transition to a somewhat different topic. But before we move forward, maybe the question that we need to ask is there something that God is nudging me to give up, not just for 40 days, but for good? Is there something that I need to consider taking up, not just for 40 days, but for good? And we'll spend some time at the very end of our service today reflecting on that and kind of giving every single one of us an opportunity to think about, is there something specific in my life that I need to really consider giving up and I need to really consider taking up? But before we get there, the question I also want to ask is, why is it so hard to do that sometimes? Like, why is it so difficult sometimes to give up certain things in our lives? Why is it difficult to give up the internet? Why is it difficult to give up sweets or soft drinks for 40 days? Well, partly because we're addicted to those things, and that makes it difficult. But why is it really hard to give up other things that we cling to really, really tightly? Why is it hard to give up busyness? Why do we say, I want to stop being busy, but we keep on living really, really busy lives? Why is it hard to give up? What about other things? There's a bunch of things that we could have talked about in this sermon series. I want to just give you a list of the things that didn't make the list. Giving up money. Could have talked about that. Giving up time. Giving up power. We all love to have power over things. What does it look like to give that up? Giving up success. Giving up fame or popularity or the desire for that. How about this one? Giving up our dreams. Giving up laziness. I always pick to talk about the things that aren't as convicting to me. So that one didn't make the list. Giving up our past. Giving up our pride. How about giving up our comfort? Now, some of these things on this list aren't that bad, and for some of us, we almost have a negative reaction when we see that, like, what do you mean giving up my comfort or giving up my dreams or giving up success? I mean, aren't those good things? And why is it that everything we do, everything we plan, everything we schedule in our minds and in our hearts is about holding on to these things, holding on to these desires, saying, no, it's my dreams, it's my success, it's my schedule, it's my money, I earned it, I worked for it, I should be able to do with it whatever I want. And why is it that when anyone suggests giving up some of those things, we just want to cling to them really, really tightly?
I think ultimately it's because what we really, really want is control. What we really don't want to give up is control. What really scares us to death in life is when we have to give up control. We want control over our jobs. We want control over our financial security, right? We want control over relationships. We want control over the level of intimacy that we desire on our terms with other people. We want control over our kids, right? We want control over our schedules. We want control over our reputations, certainly. I mean, we want control over what other people think about us. We want control over what we can and cannot buy. I mean, right? I want to decide what I can buy, and I don't want anyone else telling me what I should or shouldn't buy. I want control over what I should or should not eat. I don't want anyone else telling me about that. We want control over every single part of our lives. And part of the reason is because we have been through circumstances where we know what it's like to not be in control, right? I mean, if you think back for a second, all of us can probably think through a time or a circumstance in our lives where we lost control, where things spun out of control. And that's a terrifying feeling. Maybe you can think of a relationship that didn't go the way you wanted it to go. And you lost control over it, and it was horrible. Maybe you can think about losing someone in your life that you were close to, and it was like you were not in control. There was nothing you could do about it. And it was not good. Maybe it's about a time when you were not employed or you lost your job and you weren't in control. And I mean, I know what this is like. I remember graduating from graduate school. I had like a master's degree and I'm sending resumes everywhere. I'm calling people. I'm doing everything I can and nothing's happening. And it's like you can't make people hire you. And it's like it's totally out of my control. There's nothing I can do to make this happen. And it's so frustrating. Maybe it was when you were a kid or a teenager and your parents split up and got a divorce and there was nothing you could do about it. Maybe it's when you and your spouse were trying to have kids and it wasn't working the way you planned it all out, the way you dreamed it would be, and that's something that's entirely out of your control. Maybe it's just something that happened in your life that was unexpected. It just came into your life and it was some circumstances and things spun out of control and you still remember that awful, terrifying, gut-level feeling of there is nothing I can do to control the circumstances, to control the situation right now. And the thought of that brings so much terror to us that I think we spend the rest of our lives making sure we never get out of control again. Making sure, doing everything we can, managing our schedules, managing our relationships, managing our money, manipulating things to ensure that I never get out of control again. And so I spend all kinds of time, I'll spend all kinds of energy, I'll spend all kinds of money, I'll do everything it takes to make sure I always stay in control of every aspect of my life. And then for someone like me to start talking about like giving things up, giving up significant attitudes, giving up significant habits, giving up significant things in our life, it's almost like, well, that just means I'm giving up control over those things. That means I'm doing what someone else told me to do. That means I'm letting go of that. And deep down, we do not want to do that. I'll give up and I'll take up things that I want to give up and take up, but start asking me to give up and take up things that I don't want to, and everything in me will cling to control. But what if that's where Jesus is taking us? What if where he is taking us is to a place in our lives where we give up control to him? I want to read a story for you today that's from the Gospels, and it's a story about a time in Jesus' life and in his followers, these men who began to follow him, when things started spinning out of control. And it's interesting to see what happened. It's found in Mark chapter 4, and it's just a short passage, so if you want to turn there, you can, but we'll put the verses on the screen as we read them. And this is how the story goes. It begins in verse 35, and Mark tells us this is what happens. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, this is Jesus, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. So Jesus had been teaching one day on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee was this really big lake in the middle of Israel. It's near where Jesus grew up. It's really big. It's about 13 miles long by about 8 miles wide. And so for any of you actually who have been to Guatemala with us, it's about the same exact size as Lake Atitlan. If you've been there, you know what that looks like. And it's surrounded by mountains just like that lake. And so it's this huge lake, and it's surrounded by mountains, and there's little villages and fishing communities all along the lake. And it's near where Jesus grew up. And so he began his ministry there, and he was teaching in one of these fishing communities one day. And the crowds got so big that he decided to get in a boat. And so one of his friends, he asked to get in the boat, and he got in the boat, and they pushed it out from shore, and that way he could stand above everyone. And they were all standing on shore listening to him. And he taught, and people were listening to him. And then as the day wore on, people started dispersing, and the teaching time was over. And so he looked at him, he said, okay, let's go back to where we're staying. They were staying on the other side of the lake. And he says, let's head back across the lake for the evening. And so Mark tells us he just stays in the very boat that he was teaching in. They sit down, they get in the boat, and they start heading across the lake. And just a little detail Mark adds is, oh yeah, and if you don't believe the story that I'm about to tell you, just so you know, there were a bunch of other boats there, and they all saw this happen as well. And so you can go talk to any of the other people who were there that day about what happened. So they get in the boat. It's getting late, probably getting dark, and they begin to head to the other side of the lake. And this is what it says, next verse, verse 37. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, the Sea of Galilee was infamous for its storms. It's still infamous today. These storms would come over the lake, and because the lake is surrounded by mountains, they would come and they would settle down, and they would just come in immediately. And people often couldn't see them coming from very far away because it's surrounded by mountains. And so the same thing happened there. They probably couldn't see the storm. They might have sensed, you know, the pressure's changing. It's, you know, something's going on. And then all of a sudden, boom, the storm comes on them. It's nighttime, so they can't even see much. It starts raining. We assume it starts, you know, thundering and lightning. The wind is whipping up. The boat's starting to get pushed. It's rocking right and left. Waves are crashing over the boat. So the disciples are having to start bailing the boat out. And so they're getting, and they're bailing the water out of the boat because waves are crashing. And it's like getting crazy. This huge storm. And look at what happens in the next verse. Verse 38. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him, and they said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? So you might be thinking the same thing I am. What in the world is Jesus doing sleeping during this? Like, how could he even be sleeping during this? It says he's in the rear of the boat. That's the stern. And we don't know if there's something covered, if there was a little cabin there underneath, and he was covered up. Probably not. Maybe he just had, like, a blanket over him, and that was who knows, like how in the world Jesus was sleeping while the boat is rocking and it's thundering and it's lightning and the waves are crashing and everyone's getting wet. And so the disciples probably thought the same thing. How in the world is Jesus sleeping? But they were even more concerned with why could Jesus be sleeping right now. And so they come to him and they wake him up and they say, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And the Greek word for drown here, it's actually a verb that literally means to perish or to be destroyed. So in this case, since they're on the lake, it would just be dying by drowning. But it means to perish or be destroyed. And the verb tense is the progressive tense. So for those of you who remember your English grammar, which is probably none of us, because I had to take a foreign language to relearn English grammar. But if you remember it, it's in the progressive tense, which just means add ing. So basically what they're saying is, don't you care that we are drowning? Ding. Drowning. Drowning, yes. Don't you care that we're drowning? There's a little North Carolina coming back in there. Don't you care that we're drowning? Don't you care that we're perishing? We're dying here. Like, like every wave, minute by minute, every wave that crashes over the boat, you know, like bucket full of water by bucket, we are going down. Like we're being destroyed. We are dying. Every minute, every new gust of wind that comes by, it's getting us closer and closer. Do you not care? And literally, it's, does it not matter to you at all that we are in the process of dying on this boat right here, Jesus? Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? God, do you not see what's going on in my life right now? Like, do you not see what's happening every single hour, every single day, every single week that goes by? Things are getting worse and worse and worse. Do you not see the storm that's going on right now in my life? Do you not care what's happening right now? That's what they said to Jesus, and look at how he responds. Verse 39. He got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." It's like a parent. Quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So Jesus, it's like he's... he was asleep. Maybe he's groggy. He's like, okay, quiet, be still. And suddenly everything is entirely peaceful. Now, don't miss what happens next, because Jesus says something, and then something happens in the hearts of these early followers of Jesus that I think begins to change their lives from this moment on. And I think if we can understand it, it can begin to change our lives as well when it comes to holding on to control in our lives. Look at what Jesus says. Next verse, verse 40. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" What do you mean, Jesus? Why are we so afraid? Like... okay, so we get that you were asleep and you kind of missed what was going on out here, but for the rest of us, there was a huge storm. Like, did you not see the wind and the rain and the waves? Do you not see all the water in the boat and how we're about to go down? Like, maybe for, you know, you, Jesus, but us mere mortals, like when we're about to die, we get scared. Like, that's what happens. It scares us to death and we don't know what else to do. But it's like Jesus is looking at him going, but you didn't have to be afraid. Why were you afraid? Just because things were spinning out of control doesn't mean you have to be afraid. Just because you are no longer in control of your destiny and your life doesn't mean that you had to be afraid of what was going on. Which is, it's funny, it's exactly the opposite for us, right? I mean, when things spin out of our control, we do get afraid. I mean, that's the reason we're afraid. We're no longer in control. I mean, if I'm not in control of how this relationship goes, how this job goes, how this thing goes, if I'm not in control of it anymore, it scares me to death about what's going to happen, because I think I know what's best for my life, just like you probably think you know what's best for your life. And when I'm not in control of that, I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know if I can handle what's going to happen when I'm not in control. And yet, it's like Jesus is saying, but that's okay. Just because you're not in control doesn't mean you have to be afraid. You don't have to let it scare you. You don't have to let being out of control be a point of fear for you. And then look at what Jesus says in the rest of the verse. He goes on, he says, he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And the disciples are probably looking at each other going, "Well, I guess I don't, because I was scared to death. Peter was crying like a little girl. Thomas was balled up in the fetal position. I guess we have no faith." Like, if there's a faith test here, Jesus, we flunked it again because we were scared to death. Like we were doing our best and things were spinning out of control and it scared us to death. It's like Jesus realized and he recognized that one day he was going to leave them. And one day he was not going to be there. And one day they were going to have to face storms on their own. And one day they were going to get to the place in life where they were going to have to give up control over certain things. Or things would start spinning out of control in their lives. And they were going to have to realize in those moments that if they gave up control, it didn't mean that they had to be afraid because they could simply take up trust in him. And that if they could give up the control over their ability to manage circumstances, and if they could give up control over the outcomes of everything they face in life, and they could trust him with those, if they could trust the one who really was in control, well, they could get through anything. It just took a measure of faith. That there is a connection between giving up control and taking up trust in the one who is in control, in the one who can speak the words and the storm can go down immediately. But that's tough for us, right? Because we tend to think that we're the only ones that can control things. We're the only ones that can make sure the things happen in our lives that we want to happen. And yet Jesus is saying, look, if I can pry open your hands and if I can force you or woo you or challenge you or ask you to let go of certain things in your life and let go of control over those things, then maybe you can get to a place where you can trust me with them, where you can take up trust in me. Because, yeah, the storms are going to be hard. And, yeah, they're going to force you to give up control, but you can trust the one who is in control. You can trust the one who controls the very weather. And then look at how the disciples respond to Jesus. Verse 41, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And I love the words that Mark uses here. He actually uses the Greek noun for fear and the Greek verb for fear. And so he literally says in Greek, and they feared a huge fear. They feared a great fear. And so we translate it, well, they were terrified. We just use one word, but it's they feared a great fear because suddenly they realized they didn't have to be afraid of losing control. They could simply trust in the one who always had control. And if he is someone who can control the weather, if they're in the presence of someone who can speak and make the waves die down, it's like a whole new level of fear. It's a whole new, not a cowardly fear, but a reverent fear. We are following someone that we can completely place everything in our lives. We can open up our hands and give him the things that we have been clinging to so much. We are in the presence of someone who does control the future, who does control everything in our lives. And we can trust him with that. I think if the disciples were here today, I think they would look at each one of us and they would say, you know, at first, we were scared to death of losing control. And then we came to a place of following the one who was in control. That there's a connection between giving up control in our lives and taking up trust in the one who is in control. And when they realized that, they feared a great fear because they followed one whom they could completely trust with every aspect of their life. Now, At one level, this story is about facing storms in life. And maybe you're here today and you're in a storm. Maybe you're bailing out the boat as fast as you can, but it's just getting worse and worse. Maybe the sails are torn and the wind just keeps hitting you. And it's like life is spinning out of your control and you just don't know what to do about it. What if you could come to the place today where you could trust God in the midst of this storm? What if you could trust the one who was in control? Which is really hard because sometimes we confuse our ability to control and handle outcomes with God's ability to control and handle outcomes. And we think if we can't control them, if I can't control this storm right now, well, then maybe God can't control it. But we've got to trust that he can and that he knows what's best for us and that he loves us deeply and he wants our good and that he is still in control even when we are not. Now, maybe you're here today and you're not necessarily going through a storm, but as we've been talking about giving things up in our lives, everything in you is still desperately holding on to something. You're clinging to something. I'm clinging to something because I don't want to give up control of that thing. What if Jesus is saying you gotta let go? Because control is actually a myth. You're not really in control. You think you're in control, but you're not. You think that you're smart enough and you're intelligent enough and you can plan well enough and you can schedule and you can think about every possible outcome and you can plan for everything. You think you're fully in control, but you're not. Only I am in control. And so you need to trust me with that. What if that's what Jesus is saying to you today? That as long as you hold on to that thing, you're going to live a life of fear. A fear of not being in control. But if you can ever let go of that thing, it could be so liberating. It could be so liberating to believe, I don't have to cling to this anymore. I don't have to manage every outcome. I don't have to trust in my ability to control because I can't. I'm just going to put my trust and my confidence and my faith in God's ability to control. And so whether the storm is tossing you around and your sails are shredded and your boat's full of water, what if Jesus is looking at you today and saying, don't trust in yourself anymore, trust in me? Or if you're holding on to something so tightly, what if he's looking at you and saying, you got to give up control over that thing. And you've got to take up trust in me. And that doesn't mean being irresponsible. God has given us all responsibility. God has asked us to be the best stewards possible of everything he gives us in life. But he says, you know what? There's one thing I haven't put you in charge of, and that's control over every outcome in your life. You have to surrender that. You've got to give that up. You've got to trust me with those things. And so here's the challenge that I want to close with today. I trust over the past few weeks that God, even if this is the first time you've been here, I believe God has been working in your life, just like he's been working in mine. And I trust in all of our lives, God has been working on nudging us in some certain areas to give up control over certain things. And so here's what I want to ask you to do this morning. And maybe for you, it's something simple. Maybe it's just exercising more often. That's something you need to take up. Maybe it's giving up control over what you eat because you need to eat healthier. Maybe it's giving up control over the amount of internet you're on because you surf too much. Maybe it's something deeper. Maybe it's an attitude, an addiction, a habit. Maybe there's something you need to take up, a practice that takes time, that takes sacrifice, that's hard. A new attitude, a new plan, a new way of following Jesus. But whatever it is that you need to give up and take up, I want to ask you as we close today to actually write that thing down. And to almost draw a line in the sand and not just write it down for yourself, but write it down for everybody else to see as well. Now, you can be anonymous. And so here's what we're going to do. We've put together these two big panels in the back, and they're faced the other way, but one says giving up and one says taking up. In the next few minutes, we're going to have just some extended time of worship. We're going to sing some songs. Megan's going to come up in a second, and we're going to sing some songs, three songs to be exact, for those of you who like to know exactly what to expect. I'm one of those people. And maybe that's something you need to consider. We're going to sing three songs, and we're going to ask everyone to stand while we sing them. And so what I want you to do is sometime during those three songs, whenever you're ready, is to just slip out of your spot and walk to the back and go to the panel back here that says giving up and write down what you think God is asking you to give up in your life. And then go over to the one that says taking up and write down what you feel like God is asking you to take up in your life. And you don't have to put your name by it or anything like that. No one will know exactly what you wrote down. But it will be a moment for you. And maybe it's a resolution. Maybe it's simply, this is something I'm resolving to give up from here on out. Or this is something I'm resolving to take up. This is the thing that I feel like God has been nudging. There's a lot of things. This is the one thing coming out of this series that I want to do. Maybe it's more like a prayer at this point. I don't know, God, how to do this. I'm scared to death of letting go of this. I'm not sure what's going to happen if I do give up control over this, but my prayer is that you would help me begin to take steps to do that. And so I'm going to write down, this is what I want to start giving up. This is what I want to start taking up. And honestly, this is what Jesus did with his very life. This is what we remember this week. When he came before his father and he said, Father, I am giving up my life for them. I am giving up control over my life and I'm trusting you with it. And I'm trusting your plan, even though it doesn't look good. And even though it's really difficult. And even though it's not a plan I would choose. And even though it's really hard, I'm trusting that you are more wise and that you are more good, and I'm trusting you with it. I'm giving up control over this, and I am trusting you with it. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we're going to follow him in trying to do today as well. So let me pray, and then we'll sing. God, I pray for just the next few moments, and I really do trust that there is something you want to pinpoint in each one of our lives, something that maybe we've been holding on to that we need to let go of a little bit more. And so, God, I pray that you would give us boldness to trust you with that thing and to follow you in the way of Jesus. And God, I pray that part of that trust would be believing that you know what's best for us. Believing that in giving things up, it's like we're dying to something, but you know how to bring new life out of death. You know how to bring hope out of hopelessness, and you know how to bring peace out of peacelessness. God, I pray that as we write these prayers of what we want to give up and what we want to take up down today, that you would use these moments to draw us closer to you, and that we would be assured that you are with each one of us and that you love us. I pray this in your name. Amen.